it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Harris, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Maybe the Lions don't suck. Welcome to the show on this Monday. Hey, look, it was refreshing. It was good for the football soul in Detroit to go out and get a win like that and look more like the Lions team we've been accustomed to seeing the last 2 years than the one that opened the season at Green Bay. Now, that doesn't mean that the performance at Green Bay didn't happen. But what it means is it supports a argument that they really aren't as bad as they looked against Green Bay, that the Green Bay performance by them might have been a one-off. It's also perhaps an indication that what Dan Campbell said about things being relatively easy to fix because it was communication, or that he implied it was relatively easy to fix, was true. Because the offensive line, they ran the ball behind that line, and that line protected the quarterback, who absolutely took apart the Bears' defense. And defensively, they took the ball away, which was a strength of the team from a year ago. And yeah, this whole division might be a fist fight with Green Bay right down to the end, so be it. But reassuring to see the Lions look like they did yesterday, wasn't it?
It was great. It was great to see the offense respond the way that they did. I think a lot of that is because they play at home and you can hear each other communicate with the person next to each other. If he wants to say, hey, when you take this guy, you take that guy, you can actually hear it because it's quiet when the Lions are on offense. Mm-hmm. You know, the other side of that is interesting. Are there communication issues on defense? Because when Lions go on defense at a home game, the crowd is deafening. And it just kind of flip-flops. And I wonder but you never hear the defense complaining about it's too loud, we can't hear each other think. They want all the smoke, I guess. But I imagine communication's a problem there. But it was not a problem for the offense yesterday at all. I mean, they put up historic numbers, averaging over 8 yards a play. It was a Lions team record. They had, 7 touchdowns in the game. And defensively, they come away with 3 turnovers, a couple stops on 4th down. They looked like a very, very, very good football team.
248-539-9797. Monday's Mean Champ and Chump. Gator, my champ of the weekend was Amon-Ra St. Brown. The 3 touchdown catches, dominant performance once again. Reliable as can be as Goff's go-to guy, 115 yards receiving. The 9 catches on 11 targets, exceptionally good. Amon-Ra, you are my champ of the weekend.
Mine's the Lions offensive line, just what we talked about. Over 500 yards in offense, 52 points. Goff was not sacked once in the game. He was sacked, but it was on a penalty, so didn't matter. And they just did a great job, like I said, over 8 yards a play, which is a Lions record. They were phenomenal.
My chump of the weekend is Amon-Ra St. Brown. That celebration where you pretended like you'd hurt your hamstring, not cool, man. Not cool.
No. Like that. Particularly after Scooble got hurt the day before.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, Scooble seems like he's okay.
It was abusive, emotionally and psychologically abusive.
Yeah, dude, that's bogue. Don't do that. Yeah. My chump is Dondre Tillman of the Broncos. He was called for leverage on a 60-yard field goal attempt at the end of regulation. The kick went wide right for the Indianapolis Colts, mm-hmm. and it looked like the Denver had won the game by 2 points. Alas, they did not because of the leverage call against Tillman. Now they get to kick the ball 15 yards closer. 60 yards becomes 45 and becomes a game winner for the Colts. Tillman is my chump of the week.
248-539-9797. Get your champ of chump votes in. Brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet Sterling Heights. Let's get back to your phone calls. Bill is in Madison Heights and on 97.1. Hello, Bill.
Hello, guys.
What's up?
Champ and chump. Can I do my chump first of the champ?
Or sure. No, go for it. That way? However you want.
Okay. Well, my chumps, I know it's 2, but I just want to get it in there. I
just
want
to get one. Just one, Bill. One chump.
Okay. My chump is Ben Johnson, 0-2. My champ is Jared Goff. Not because he threw for 5 touchdowns, but he provided one of the most epic moments after a touchdown I've ever seen. Amon-Ra, like, gets it, you know, he goes over there as like a gazelle. It looks like he barely jumps. He, like, flies into the stands. And then here comes my man, Jared, and he just like jumps, and he barely made it to grab onto the edge of the stands, and the footheads are trying to pull him, and Amon-Ra's trying to push him. That was epically funny.
It was funny.
And just to point out, I just wanted to point out to people too, that, yeah, you know, I think we all had concerns, you know, about the coordinators and everything, but, you know, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are now 0-4 to start the season. So I don't know if that makes, you know, I don't know if that really means anything. Or,
yeah, I mean, they took over a bad team, so you kind of expect it. But at the end of the day, it's a lot easier to deal with than if they were 4-0.
Yeah. But, you know, it just kind of goes to show you that, coaches, you know, and a lot of it depends on the talent that they have. I mean, it's not as much as the Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn as you thought it was. They had very good players.
Yeah, well, players do matter. Yes, the players do matter. It's early for both of them. If you're a Jets fan or I would say the same thing. If the Lions were in those situations, 2 games into a regime, you don't know. You just don't know. And so they need some time, obviously, to get their own guys in there and give them a chance to turn it around. But is it a little bit easier psychologically, the fact that these two are both 0-2? Maybe a little bit. As long as the Lions are good, that's all that really matters. If Aaron Glenn has great success at the Jets, good for him. I don't mind if Ben Johnson has success, but I want you to come up short of the success that's being had in the division by the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Aaron Glenn.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Derek in Detroit. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Derek.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My chump is the Lions fans for the F. Ben Johnson thing. I mean, I think that's so classic. They did the same thing with Matthew Stafford. Somebody, you know, that gives you what they had, and okay, they moved on. They got the right to move on, okay? My champ, and I am no Jared Goff fan, but my champ is Jared Goff. And, you know, I guess by virtue of by extension, the offensive line, but he played one heck of a game. Now, if they do that in Baltimore, then I'll believe again in what their future holds, you know.
Why are you not a Jared Goff fan?
Because he's a Stafford fan.
Because I'm a Stafford fan. Well, no, that's not true. I want him to succeed because he's the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. But having said that, I just don't think if you can't move, we can't go far if you can't move, you know. And I mean, this is not any reflection on him as a person, as a man. You understand? It's just that, you know, once they've discarded him, that was disrespectful. Don't get me wrong. The Rams coach, okay? But
Sean McVay.
You know, I mean, he had a fantastic year last year, and he had a fantastic game yesterday. So keep it up. You know, and I want all the Lions players to succeed. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, if you look in recent memory and look, if you think mobility for a quarterback is a requirement for them to have success, I would offer up the previous quarterback in Detroit who wasn't mobile, and Matthew Stafford won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco, right?
Tom Brady won like 7 of them.
Yeah. So if you think it's a requirement though to win, then I guess you will not like or be a fan of Jared Goff.
No, it's definitely not a requirement to win, but is absolutely it's the new wave quarterback
of
today's
NFL.
There's
ever
been
before.
Yeah, this is what that is part of the game, but it doesn't mean you can't win being an old school pocket passer. I mean, some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, that's what they were. But things have shifted, things are changing, and I think the Lions can still win with Jared Goff, because Jared Goff's awesome. doesn't move around all that great. But you know what? If you watch the game on Sunday, he moved around enough to buy himself the time, which is all you ask for. Other people want him to not only just move around, but then take off and have the 4-5 speed to run downfield and get the 30-yard gain. You're not going to see that from him, and it doesn't matter. What matters is just advancing the ball, keeping the team on the field, and scoring points, which is what the Lions do.
Yeah, you're not going to ever see that from Jared Goff, of course. But the mobility thing, I think people just want a little bit more out of him. But you said this last week, Gator, and I think it's maybe more true than not. He might be the last of a dying breed. And I'm talking just not mobile at all. You know, like Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, was not mobile at all.
Brady, Peyton Manning.
Yeah. But I think those guys are in the past now. I think moving forward, even the great quarterbacks will be more mobile than Jared Goff. And I think it's because the pool of players you're picking from now are different than they were 20, 30 years ago. People are just more athletic. They train earlier. They play different sports. You know what I mean?
So totally
I think it's, before, I think you picked a guy like, hey, you can only play this position. But now the pool is way bigger. A receiver, right? A running back, whatever. They can play quarterback. So I think whether it's high school or college, that position has just become more mobile. And I don't even think necessarily because you need it to be. I think those they're just better athletes now.
Well, I mean, I'm fine with them trying to build an offense around this guy because of what he does do, what he is great at, can produce wins, has produced wins. I mean, the man did make it to a Super Bowl. He has won multiple postseason games. So, you know, I mean, it's got to have the team around him, but just about everybody does.
Well, the growth from week one to week two from the offensive line is dramatic. And will we continue to see them play at that elite level? I don't know. I don't suspect that's going to be the case, but I do think we're going to continue to see this offensive line stack some pretty good games against each other.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sorry, man. I did not appreciate that. I consider it emotional and psychological abuse to make us think you're hurt, because we don't need that. It's said out of love, but cut it out, man. 248-539-9797. There is updates out of East Lansing regarding Nick Marsh's health.
Oh, what do we got?
According to Jonathan Smith, quote, we'll see what it looks like at the end of the week. Also, running back Mekhi Frazier, same thing. See what it looks like at the end of the week. So,
yeah, those are when I saw Nick Marsh leave the game. First of all, he got absolutely drilled in the back. One of these plays where he catches the ball and starts like kind of backpedal with it and just gets smoked in the back. Got right up and act like nothing happened, but I had to believe that was just one of several things that took its toll. And then later on, you see that he's got a wrap on one of his legs and then doesn't play in the second half. Nick Marsh is a stud receiver, as good as any receiver in college football. He's great. They need him to be successful this year. Hopefully he's able to play this week at USC. Mekhi Frazier, probably their best running back. Be nice to have him going as well. You know, Michigan State was able to do some things in a run game on Saturday, but you're taking on Youngstown
State.
Also
the quarterback.
Yeah, Aiden Childs played really well. He looked comfortable back there. He, again, doesn't have happy feet. He's not showing the happy feet this year. He was able to step aside, step up, and then hit open receivers, which was really nice to see, and he's using his tight end a little bit more too, which is also good. Good step in the right direction for Michigan State, starting off 3-0 for the second year in a row.
248-539-9797. Idris, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Idris?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
All right, I'm just calling this some Lions. And first, let me go to Michigan State, and I'm just going to shoot a shot. I don't know why anybody even looks at Michigan State. I tried trying to give them a chance to be one of my teams, the second team of Michigan. And all my life, all they did was beat Michigan State, then follow up with a loss to Ohio State or anybody else good. So I just gave up on them. But now, let's go to the Lions. Everyone got kind of paranoid and everything after week one. We know they don't play in the preseason. Offensive line was changed. But here's the big thing. We don't need to worry about Green Louis because they got a guy by the name of Jordan who loves to throw interceptions. And he did it against the Lions two plays in a row. We just had the unfortunate of bad play on defense to get a penalty. He does it time and time again, and he's going to continue to do it. So don't worry. We're fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you're right, I have concerns about Jordan Love getting better. But yeah,
he's been in the league for 10 years, and the dude's doing the same exact thing. He's no longer a rookie. He's a three, four-year starter. He's doing the same thing. It's just his habit.
Well, he hasn't been in the league 10 years, and he hasn't thrown a pick yet this year.
This is his third year starting.
He threw pick six with Brian Braff. We just had an unfortunate play. Well,
there's some truth to that. He made a couple bad throws against Detroit, and he kind of got bailed out. That is true. I hope you're right. I guess I don't need to debate it with you. I hope you're right. 248-539-9797.
I mean, he's got 4 touchdowns, no picks this year. Last year was 25 touchdowns, 11 picks. The year before was 32 touchdowns and 11 picks. He's a good quarterback. I question of what he's going to be moving forward if he's without some key receivers. Like Jaden Reed's out for a while here. Christian Watson, I don't know if he's coming back anytime soon. But he started utilizing the tight end, and they've got a couple of pretty good tight ends over there. He's a good quarterback. I don't know if he's great, and that's the concern. Is he going to be great or not? He's not Jared Goff. I'll take Jared Goff over Jordan Love all day.
Let's go to Brian and McComb. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brian.
Hey, sirs. How you doing?
Good.
Sorry about that. Hey, could we not you all, just kind of rhetorically speaking to those could we put it to bed, put it to rest? It's no longer the preseason, and they're not doing it against people that's going to be working at Walmart and Target and Myers the next week. Tesla, he's serious. Can we just please say that he is serious? He's a player. They found a gem in him. It was just one catch, but come on now. We got to admit, this guy, he's the real deal.
So what's crazy about it, Brian, is I think – it's a relatively safe statement that he has the two most spectacular first catches by any receiver in the history of the NFL. I think that might be a safe statement. Two is he might never have to make another one-handed catch the rest of his career because you don't always get a ball thrown that needs a one-handed catch. But if necessary, he can do it. And, yeah, right. that was impressive.
If need be, he can do it. So we know we had that type of receiver. He's going to be a threat, and especially in the red zone. I mean, all over the field, actually, but especially in the red zone this season and then coming up as he matures here in the next couple of, year or next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Year and then following year and that kind of thing. So it's good to see. Good job, Brad. So, okay, thanks. You all have a
appreciate
a good
it.
Day.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, this is one heck of a spectacular debut.
Tesla completely flew under the radar. He played 2 years at Arkansas, right? But he only caught 28 passes last year for nearly 20 yards of reception. And there were 3 touchdowns involved. But that's not a guy who's like of your primary focus if you're only catching 28 passes. He's under the radar. Holmes did his homework, and we come to find what a remarkable find this young man is. I don't know what his route running is like in comparison to other players, and we'll see more of that once he gets on the field more, but they sure like him. They sure like him. We know he's got the hands, he's got the speed, he's got the size, and Dan Campbell said again after the game, this is a guy that's going to earn some more playing time. We got to find room for him, and he's going to be get more plays to him.
Do you know who his OC was at Arkansas?
No.
Bobby Petrino.
Really?
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Amir is next on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Amir?
Good afternoon, guys. I have a champ My champ is Jared Goff for extending a couple of plays with his legs. And then my chump is going to be Jonathan Vilma from the Fox Analyst. He was nice to introduce our new safety, Deion Branch. called Brian Branch. Deion Branch for about 20 minutes. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Yeah,
that
was very, he kept calling him Deion.
Man, it really hit a nerve.
So the thing about it is, being one that does games, I know how easy it is to mess that up, and so I have a degree of sympathy. Because I'm struggling. I will tell you, in my head, every time I see the Wolverines throw the ball to Channing Goodwin, I think Channing's dribbling, and I've fought it. I'm so, because he Stribling played at Michigan. And so I'm like,
what very about Channing Tatum?
Very sensitive to it, and I don't want to make that mistake. And so I cringed the first time he said it because I know how easy it is. Then he said it again, then he said it again, then he said it again. And that's where the producer's got to bail a guy out and say, hey, you keep calling him Deion. It's Brian. And like, we got Brian Bush who comes down and taps me on the shoulder when I mess something up, and hopefully I only make a mistake once. But yes, he said it a bunch.
I'm thinking Brad made a move that I wasn't aware of, and a player that I didn't even know existed.
Yes, well, the Branch was great. That's what counts. But Vilma, yes, kept calling him Deion.
I like Jonathan Vilma.
I do, too.
Loved him as a college player.
Oh, he was great as a college player.
He's one of those guys that when I watched him play at Miami and he made a hit in a game, and it's like, ooh, who's that guy? Immediately start looking up who this guy is. I'm like, damn it, he's only a sophomore. He's not eligible for the draft yet. Just back at the time when I was really wanting linebackers for the Lions. And then, of course, he goes to the NFL and has a pretty good.
With what sounded like a moving crew behind him. Carson Anderson, 97, won the ticket. 248-539-9797. Monday's Mean Champ and Chump. Get those votes in. A lot of people reacting to yesterday's Lions absolute caning of the Chicago Bears. We go to Brian in Shelby Township. Hi, Brian.
Brian,
are you there? Brian, 1-2.
Sorry, yes, I'm here.
All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry, guys. I think I had the mute button on.
All right, all good.
So I was going to go Goff, but everyone seems to be going Goff for the champ. And he was fantastic. I do have to see it in January from Goff. So let's go a different way and put the doubt aside now in my mind, because you score 52 points, guys, and that offensive line has something to do with it. So I really got to give credit to the offensive line. And, you know, I was critical of them in the off season and last week, but that unit really gelled, and I was impressed. But we still got to see it next week, and then, of course, against Myles Garrett and Cleveland at the next home game. So that being said, I'll keep it in Detroit for the chump. And, you know, guys, when you lose a father, husband, brother, fellow American, and the whole organization can't acknowledge Charlie Kirk, that really bothers me in a way. And I think it bothered a lot of people as I talked to coming out of the game and stuff. But, you know,
I'll tell you what bothered me, Brian. What bothered me is that there wasn't any acknowledgement of the kids that were murdered in the high school in Colorado in the same week.
That too.
And those are innocent kids.
You got it.
They're not divisive. They're innocent kids. And that bothers me.
We're probably not going to advance this as a topic. I mean, it's just something that I get. There's been a lot of tragic stuff that's happened lately, and there's a lot of stuff that gets overlooked and, you know, or could be acknowledged as well. But here's what I know. Years and years and years ago, it was our differences that's had me start saying at the end of every show to treat each other with respect. It started due to basically political differences, and there's not enough of it today. Eric is on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen all the time. Give a big plug to the Odyssey app. I travel a lot.
Awesome.
And I love playing at 1.5 speed and skipping the commercials, so it's great. And also, Kang, you're a rock star. Your input is fantastic. Timely and appropriate at all times. I love it. Anyway. My champ.
For the record, we love it as well, by the way. Just so you
know. Yeah, fantastic. Champ is going to be Hank Fraley. Really looks like he might be the best offensive line coach as advertised, and really happy to see how that squad looked yesterday. Hopefully we can keep it up on the road, but definitely way better than it was in Green Bay. And then my chump is Ben Johnson, and it's, you know, we've kind of hit on it, you know, he left, and when he got to Chicago, he's like, this is where I've always wanted to be. And I'm like, really? And then, you know, with the fact that every time I ever saw him make a press conference, it was like, that guy's not a leader of men. I was at the game, and I watched him on the sideline pretty much the whole game. It's like they have a bubble around him. Like, nobody's around him ever. Like, he's got like a 10-yard bubble on the sideline at all times. And his facial expressions are just like, just priceless. So, Ben Johnson, you know, I love
that. Well, look, when you take over a new job, and it's specifically one with a rival fan base, you're now trying to appease those fans and not the ones that you just left. I think he also said some things early when he got there where he realized, ooh, this might be perceived differently in Detroit. So I feel, and I don't think he wants to be disrespectful to Detroit. So I really feel like he has a good relationship with the people here. You know, Jared Goff said afterwards he didn't like the F. Ben Johnson chance. But at the end of the day, he's got a job to do, and unfortunately he's the head coach of the Chicago Bears, which makes a lot of people upset. You know, I don't know. Now, dude, as far as your leader of men take, there are different ways that you can be successful as a head coach. What I think is incredibly difficult to do is to get 53 people pulling in the right direction. Ones that make $20 million a year, and ones that make the league minimum, the $495,000. And to get them all to accept their roles, buy into their roles, and compete at the highest level, whatever their role may be, no matter how big or how small, how much they're asked to sacrifice to be part of the team, is probably the number one thing that I would look for in a head coach today. And then number two is, who would your coordinators be? But if you can get everybody rowing in the same direction and everybody on board with your message, which I think Mike Vrabel's really good at, I think Dan Campbell's really good at, and I suspect Aaron Glenn is going to be really good at. I think it's a huge, I think it's a huge prerequisite to being successful, but it's not the only way. It's not the only way. Ben Johnson seems a little bit more like he'd be X's and O's tactician than a leader of men, and you can win that way too, but it'll be intriguing to see who's more successful long run, Glenn or Ben Johnson.
Well, Aaron Glenn's going to have a little issue right now if Justin Fields is going to be out for any time. He's got in concussion protocol. If he's going to miss some games, it's going to be tough. But I hope that the New York media doesn't chase him out.
Because
I think he, to use the last caller's words, or it was you that said it, leader of men.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Glenn's a great leader of men. Yep. And I root like hell for that guy.
Joe's in Canton the next. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I apologize if I've been in late on this, but my champ is John Morton, 1, Ben Johnson, 0, first-time matchup. I think the perspective of him being in the booth showed that maybe it's a good place for him to be up there to get a better look at the field. My chump is the offensive lineman for the New York Giants who went berserk, creating 4 penalties on 1 drive, and he got taken out of the game.
Yeah.
And he's arguing with his coach. I mean, who are you going to blame, the coach or yourself? You just, you know, that was ridiculous seeing that on TV. And I have a question if you guys, I don't know if you addressed it yet, but did you notice that Marcus Davenport was injured twice?
Yep.
Yeah.
And was there any concern talked about that after the game when they, in the locker room, they asked him, so what's going to happen? He says, I don't know yet. And I didn't know what, if he, you know.
Yeah, he kind of said that's up to the trainers.
You know, if that's something they're going to look at, getting on the phone and try to bring somebody in, or are they happy? I don't know who's coming back in a couple weeks. Or
lost there, Joe. I don't know what the story is. We await an update on Marcus Davenport. When he got hurt the first time, I was like, oh boy, here we go. And then he came back. I'm like, yeah, here we go. And then he left again. And I mean, it's hard not to think the worst. It was a calculated risk. His contract is almost all incentive laden.
Yep.
So they're, if he doesn't, if he can't stay healthy, it doesn't prove he's cost way less money.
Well, he's played two games, yep. And they've played, and the Lions have played two games, and he made his impact felt yesterday. He had a quarterback sack, had a couple tackles in the game. You just hope that he can stay healthy. And you, I don't expect that he's going to be playing 50 snaps a game on defense. And fortunately, they've got guys they like there. Mekhi Wingo played a bunch. His first game with the Lions in the season, comes in yesterday and plays like 37 snaps for his first game back. It's Mekhi Wingo. So I think that's a positive thing you can look at. When Pascal gets healthy and gets in this rotation, it's, they can keep some guys in a rotation to maximize their effort and potential. But with Davenport, the question is always going to be, can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? And, you know, cross another defensive lineman off the list, defensive end, Jadeveon Clowney signing a one-year deal with the Cowboys as a free agent. So there goes another one. We'll see if the Lions decide to address this or not. Right now, they don't feel like they have to. They're good, according to Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. But keep an eye on Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Joe Burrow's out for 3 months. Oh,
and that could open up the door. Now they are 2-0, and the trade deadline comes up quickly. And
we'll fastly be saying they were 2-0,
probably. Deion Hutchinson, Carson Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. It's a joke. I know his name's Aiden.
It's Kritz.
As I said earlier, I actually have sympathy for Vilma being someone who's in one of those positions that can easily make those mistakes. I think it was amazing he made the same mistake over and over and over, and that's where a producer needs to get in his ear and say, it's Brian Branch, not Deion Branch, but... Easy mistakes.
What's his name?
Goodwin. And John gets Bryce Underwood and Bryce Young. And look, we all have our, can happen to anybody is my point.
It would be
a lot easier than you think.
Yeah, it'd be a lot easier to take if Channing Goodwin wasn't in Magic Mike XL. Then
I don't know what that's referencing.
It's a Channing Tatum reference.
Okay. I don't need more Channings.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. I don't need more Channings. I got to get this one down. It's not Stribling. That's what I just say. It's not Stribling. It's not Stribling.
It's not. Or is it Steve Stribling?
What? Stop. You're not helping. 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. Tom is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
My camp, I have to say, is the 2025 draft class. He got Williams, Rattledge, and Tesla. I mean, the first three picks actually contributing more than I thought, you know, into two games. Just incredible. Williams, I think, batted down, two passes?
He batted down two passes, including the fourth down, the second fourth down. Right. So, yeah, that's a great point by you. It's a great observation. Rattledge, week one to week two, seemed to make quite a bit of difference. I haven't noticed Tesla at all, but I guess he's made a couple plays. There's not been a more spectacular debut into the league. He's got two targets and two SportsCenter number one highlight worthy catches.
Yeah. And then I just got to say my camp is the Chicago Bears defense to hang 52. And I think there were four plays of 25 yards of more. You just can't do that at the pro level. Look, they got a good defense, but I don't know if they just gave up or whatever, but man, that was embarrassing.
Well, you got to figure Lions are a very talented offensive team. It's not out of character for them to put up a 50-burger on somebody. They did it a couple times last year, and so it's good to see them get back to that. It helps. This is probably strong. It doesn't invalidate what happened in week one, but it validates what they did last year is what they're capable of this year, right?
Yeah, I think there were five plays, actually, because J-Mo caught two passes. More. Both of them were for big plays. One was 64, the other one was 44. They had a bunch of explosive plays in the game. They were clicking on all cylinders. I mean, if there was any pressure, Goff would step up or move to his left or move to his right, buy himself that extra split second, and then hit somebody in stride. I mean, you can remember the incomplete passes because they were so... few of them. There were only five passes that hit the ground.
Feedback, Champ Jared Goff for the career day. Chump Jonathan Vilma for calling him Brian Branch, calling Brian Branch Deion Branch. That's from Rick. Champ Muhammad gets the sack. Chump, all these callers that doubt these coaches and the team from last week. That's from Jeff in Clarkston. Elquidi Muhammad, yes, he was felt in this game. As far as, look, last week we got on the air and we made the point all week long. Hank Fraley's on the job. Hank Fraley's on the job. Hank Fraley is one of the most respected line coaches in the game. If it is fixable, there's a good percentage chance that he can fix it. And one of the, I mean, they ran block and they pass protected yesterday. And oh, by the way, big fella in the middle of the Bears defense did play. It was talked that he would be out. Not Gervin. Who's the other one? And I'm completely blanking. Who's a big defensive tackle that got hurt for them in week one and then didn't practice much during the week? Grady Jarrett. Sorry. Thank you. Grady Jarrett. It's
Grady Jarrett. Doug.
Thank you. He did play. And the Lions completely neutralized them and were really, really good up front. Jeff, good point. Next text from Don. I'm thrilled with the Lions. However, was it more that the Lions improved or the Bears are that bad? The Vikings looked way better versus the Bears than against the Falcons.
I think the Lions improved. And I'm not convinced the Bears are that bad. I think the Lions improved vastly. And as I said earlier in the show, I think the number one reason for the change in the offense is that they played at home. And when they're on offense at home, the crowd is quiet. And when the crowd is quiet, you can hear each other calling out your protections and communicating on the offensive line of who to handle. And they kept Jared Goff completely clean. He wasn't sacked throughout the game, and he only got hit four times.
Do you think the Bears are better than or worse than they were a year ago when they had the Eberflus thing going on?
I mean, after 2 weeks, they're 0-2, so yeah. they don't look good. But I do think that this team is going to be in better shape than the Eberflus team. By the end of the Eberflus thing, you knew it was done. I think when this thing is all said and done this year, we're going to say the Bears are going to be formidable in the years to come.
In the two games against the Bears last year, the Lions scored 57 points. They put up 52 in one game this year. 248-539-9797. Murray in Oak Park, you're next on 97.1. Hi, Murray.
How y'all doing, guys?
What's up?
Tuscola is the second coming of a receiver that the Lions drafted in 67. And at that time, the American League had not merged with the National Football League. So they had the rights to a first-round draft choice also. And the flanker that the Lions drafted, he chose to go to the Oakland Raiders, who had the rights to him first, because the Lions had a crop of great receivers in 67. They had Gail Cogdo.
Who's the player? Francis. Who's the player you're referencing?
Fred Blitnikoff.
Yeah. Interesting. You got a Tesla Fred Blitnikoff comparison.
Yes, he's showing you glimpses of the talent that Fred Blitnikoff has. And you know they got a Fred Blitnikoff award, so I guess it goes to the best receiver. I'm not sure. But there is in the National Football League a Fred Blitnikoff award.
So, these are facts.
Blitnikoff, huh?
Oh, old number 25.
I mean,
look, Fred Blitnikoff made a lot of great catches in an era where you could throw as much stick 'em on your hands as possible.
Yeah.
He was really good in the league for a few years there in the 70s.
I don't know who to compare Tesla to just yet, but he looks like he could be. I mean, one of the things that Brad Holmes built scouting boards and draft boards in L.A. for Les Snead, and he's obviously drafted here. There are some really, really good middle round receivers that have come out of these drafts that he seems to have his handprint on. Cooper Kupp, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and maybe Tesla.
I think that Isaac Tesla has a very bright future. Mm-hmm. But the reality is he's caught two passes in two games. Maybe give it some time before you start comparing him to other people like that. But I will say this, those two catches You touched on it earlier. I said last week that was the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life. And then he follows that up with another catch that is almost as good. I don't think it's as good, but it's almost as good as the one he had last week. And then your comment was nobody has ever in the history of the league started off their career with two catches like he has. You're 100% right on that.
I have no way of proving that, but I'm not sure how it'd be possible.
I don't think you can make plays like that with a Nerf ball in two straight games. It was unbelievable.
Feedback coming in regarding Terrion Arnold. Arnold looks better than last year. Not great, but better. He looks infinitely more confident, too, more animated than last year. Look, the man would have had an interception if not for a flag that was irrelevant on the play. The fact that Branch couldn't change his direction mid-air on his pass rush and landed on Caleb Williams and got a roughing the passer penalty, which I don't know what he was supposed to do, but Caleb Williams threw the ball and Terrion Arnold picked it off. Didn't count because of the penalty, but he did have what could have counted as an interception. Arnold is officially in the bust area. He is nowhere near any balls to even get a pick. He got one yesterday.
He had one that was taken away because of the Branch roughing the quarterback call, and they had another one that he just missed when he was diving. I think it was after one of Tyreek Williams' tip passes, but he just missed. And do you want to write somebody off or label him as a bust after? I don't think he played every game last year, did he? But let's say he did. It'd be 19 games in his career. Then, okay, go ahead. Do so at your own peril. I think it's ridiculous, and I don't think he had a bust-like season last year. I thought he played pretty well by the end of the season. Got called for some penalties early, shut that stuff down after a few weeks, and then was pretty good. I think this year it has not started off the way you want it to start off with, but give it some time. I certainly wouldn't label him as a bust. I wouldn't label anybody as a bust.
He said it's official, though. The texter said officially in bust area. He's nowhere near any balls to even get a pick. He had a pick that got nullified by a penalty, and he got another pass breakup. As far as Arnold goes, I think a lot of people are forgetting Darius Slay's first couple years. It takes a while to grow in this position. That's from an unnamed texter. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97, won the ticket.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.